Welcome to episode 7 of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast, which showcases the writing and voices of UK parent bloggers. I'm Tim from the blog Slouching Towards Thatcham, where I write about life as a father of three young children. On each week's podcast, I welcome a fellow blogger who talks about and reads one of their favourite posts, and then I do the same with one of mine. It's as simple as that, bite-sized chunks of blogging brilliance. Apologies if I sound like I'm speaking with a head full of cotton wool this week. I'm suffering from a serious, potentially life-threatening illness, which some of you may know as man flu. Anyway, I shall persevere. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by Sian, who you may know from her blog, Potty Mouthed Mummy. Hi there, Sian.
Hi, Tim.
To start with, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your family, and the blog?
Okay, so I'm Sian. I'm married to the hub, as I call him on the blog, Andy. And I have a little boy, Harrison, who I usually refer to as H on the blog as well, quite simply just because it's less letters to write when I'm talking about him in a blog post. We live in a little town in Berkshire. And my blog first began really just as a way to kind of have a hobby. After I had Harrison, I kind of went through a lot of, you know, the normal stuff that, you know, us mums and dads do, where we kind of are refinding ourselves after having a little child. And I realised I wasn't really giving myself time to be me in any way. And my husband kind of, I'd had a blog previously. He suggested, why don't you start doing that again? And I did. And Potty Mouth Mummy was born. So at first it kind of began as, you know, just general, you know, here's our parenting life, really. And then as I went back to work, it really was kind of online therapy. I found it very hard going back to work full time, commuting into London when Harrison was only 10 months. So it was really quite painful. But having the blog really helped me kind of express that kind of guilt and kind of work through that. And now that I'm part time, obviously the blog's become a little bit happier, I think. And a lot of people have commented on that.
That's great. Thanks. Now today you're going to be reading us a post about your son. Can you give us a little bit of background about it?
Yeah, so the post is called Calling My Son a Girl. Now Harrison he's 3.5 at the moment, and this post was only written a few months ago. He's very much into fairies. He's into Doc McStuffins. He is obsessed with wands. So, you know, he loves Tinkerbell. He loves Peter Pan. And because I'm a Harry Potter freak, he also absolutely adores Harry Potter. So he is obsessed with carrying wands wherever he goes. His particular favourite is a Frozen wand, which obviously has Elsa on it and makes a little jingly noise. Wherever we go, he wants to take this wand with him. We were going to a family party, family on my husband's side, and Harrison wanted to bring the wand with him. So I didn't think anything of it, allowed him to kind of bring it as you do. You know, if your child wants to bring a toy, you say yes. Now, there's a family member on my husband's side, not to be too specific, not that I think he's going to listen to this, but, you know, just in case. He is a bit of a misogynist, I shall say. He and I have clashed before in the past. I'm quite a feisty individual. Some people have termed it as, and he is very sexist and very opinionated about those types of things, so I shouldn't have been too surprised that he was going to comment on it. But as the party was going on, he started calling Harrison a girl, implying that he was gay, to the point where Harrison came up to me and said, "Mummy, is it true? Is what he's saying true to me? Should I not have a wand because I'm a boy?" And it broke my heart, to be honest. I got very angry to said family member, as did my husband. And my husband is usually the very calm, soothing influence in the marriage. And I am the leery, hot-tempered one, shall we say. But we were both very angry. And so afterwards, as you often do, being a blogger, you kind of write it out, get out all the anger. And yeah, I put it into blog post form and actually got quite a nice reaction. A lot of people said, you know, me too, or I've been in similar situations, so it was kind of nice to know you're not alone, I guess, which is always a good thing about being a blogger, I think, when people say to you, you know, I've been there.
Okay, so in that case, let me hand the reins over to you now. Here's Sian reading Calling My Son a Girl.
I wouldn't describe myself as a gender-neutral parent to any extreme degree. If H wants to watch Barbie on Netflix, I don't hesitate to say okay. If he wants a pink and purple Doc McStuffins doctor set, not a single part of me is worried. He doesn't wear tutus or dresses, but then neither does he ask me to. So when people make comments to him implying that he's a girl because he has a pink or purple toy, raise an eyebrow and say, uh-oh, to imply that a pink toy might mean my three-year-old is gay, it makes me really rather angry. I don't really think three-year-olds have any sexual persuasions to speak of, neither heterosexual or homosexual. They're three, for goodness sake. I don't think having a pink toy makes him gay. I don't think that calling someone a girl is a suitable insult. But more than that, I don't care. If my son does tell me one day that he's gay, I won't care. I love him unconditionally. There are only a few things he could do that would make me ashamed, and being gay is certainly not one of them. I tire of this older generation, which in my experience so far seem to be the ones saying these things to my son, frowning at children if they play with a toy the wrong colour, judging them, making these old school judgments based on pink and blue. Being gay isn't an insult. Being a girl isn't an insult. Don't tell him that his mother's sex is an insult. Don't start programming him to see women as inferior, that to be a girl is to be weaker, or worse, insulting. Am I a lesbian or a man because I like action films? Am I butch because I can write code and fix my husband's computer when it breaks? Does that also make my husband a girl? All these words do is show everyone how small-minded you are, what a bigot you are, and what an idiot you are. Because he is an innocent, sweet three-year-old, and it's your words that have the potential to corrupt him, not his pink toy.
Thank you, Sean. I have to say that post really resonated with me, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. It's surely much better to let young children find their own preferences rather than impose our own or someone else's rules upon them. We've certainly tried to bring our three kids up that way. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me on this week's podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
If you want to read more of Sian's writing, go to her blog Potty Mouthed Mummy at pottymouthedmummy.com or follow her on Twitter at pottymouthedmum. I'll attach blog and social media links on the show notes over on slouchingtowardsthatcham.com. And if you're attending Mumsnet's Blogfest event in London next month, you'll also find Sian running one of the blogging clinic sessions on the day. So do sign up for her slot. Like I said to Sian, her post about her son really resonated with me. Our eldest, Isaac, loved all things pink when he was a similar age. We neither encouraged nor discouraged him, and we certainly didn't judge him for it. It was just a part of who he was. So here's a post I wrote about him and his favourite colour a little after his third birthday. Pretty in pink. I never thought I would say this, but I genuinely dread the day when Isaac comes home and says that pink is no longer his favourite colour. It's not that I think it should be, but more because it will mark yet another milestone in his development from toddler to boy to grunting monosyllabic teenager. The shedding of another layer of innocence as the social norms of the real world start to mould him into the man he will become. Those of you who know our eldest son will be familiar with his obsession with the colour pink. What we thought at first would merely be a harmless passing phase, to go along with his Angelina Ballerina phase and his Kylie Minogue phase, shows no sign of abating. Ask him what colour he would like anything in, and as sure as the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening, he will give the same response. What colour car would he like? Pink. He gets very excited whenever we drive past the pink smart car at the end of our road. What's his favourite item of clothing? His pink jumper. What's his favourite snack treat whenever we go to Tesco? A donut with pink icing, naturally. Who's his favourite singer? Actually, it's Rihanna, although he is also partial to the musical stylings of pink. It truly does go beyond a mere preference to the point of being a genuine obsession. When he first became interested in sticking things together a year or so ago, The first thing he asked me to do one morning when we were messing about with PowerPoint was to help him produce a collage of pink images, hence the construction of a homemade poster which included most of his favourite things of that time, namely Angelina, Lily Allen and cars. When we bought him his own Christmas tree for his bedroom last December, he naturally insisted on decorating it with pink, and only pink, baubles. Let him wander through a shopping centre and, like a moth to a flame, he will inexorably be drawn towards a shop with something pink in its window. In a shoe shop, he will home in on pink shoes, particularly if they're sparkly. And he once dragged me into La Senza, I swear this is 100% true, picked up a pink bra off the rack and said to me, "Daddy, can I buy this one?" In many ways, it's an endearing trait. We've neither encouraged nor discouraged him in forming what is very much an expression of his own personal preference. It's all nature, not nurture. It may be something that he grows out of naturally over time, or it may stay with him forever. I genuinely don't mind either way. What I fear, though, is that at some stage, probably when he moves up to primary school next year, he'll be forced through peer pressure to abandon his preference for something more normal. That pressure's inevitable, and I'm sure it will manifest itself in many other ways too, as the laws of the playground start to impose themselves upon him. When that day occurs, and he comes home from school crying because some older boys have picked on him for wearing his pink bracelet, I really hope he has the strength to make his own mind up and not conform for the sake of conforming. But that's a lot to ask of a 3 or 4 year old, isn't it? Regardless if, make that when, that fateful event occurs, it will be a sad day. Once those first layers of innocence have been peeled away, the floodgates will have been opened, and our boy will learn that people will always judge others by their preferences, and that in some eyes there will always be certain characteristics which are prejudicially deemed wrong, or gay, or somehow different and therefore not right. I know it's inevitable. I know we cannot protect our children from harsh reality forever. And I know it's just the beginning, or end, of another chapter in the growing up process. But a little part of me will die on that day too. Much though I joke about it, he really is quite pretty in pink. And that's it for this episode of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast. If you'd like to listen to either future or previous episodes, you'll find them published on the blog and also on iTunes and various other podcasting sites. You can follow me on the blog at slouchingtowardsthatcham.com, on Twitter at ThatchamDad, and on various other social media channels. You'll find links to all of the above, plus Sian's links, in the show notes on the blog. All that remains for me is to say thank you all for listening to this podcast, and hopefully you'll join me again next week. Until then, goodbye.